This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you want to learn how to earn commissions of up to 20% by laundering millions of foreign dollars?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's email security solutions keep email phishing attacks like this from entering your business network and any valuable data from leaking out. Reclaim your network like 150,000 other businesses have. To learn more about stopping email-borne threats, visit barracuda.com/email.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Democrats, take the stage. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It's Tuesday, October 13. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Clinton, Sanders, O'Malley, Webb, and Chafee are the five Democratic presidential candidates taking part in a nationally televised debate tonight. Hear what they'll try to accomplish.
A giant merger in the beer industry after several attempts now appears to be a go.
The annual Christmas book from high-end retailer Neiman Marcus is out. Here are the pricey gifts that did not make this year's catalog.
And the unprecedented money being spent on political ads on television.
2012, it wasn't quite as competitive, so you didn't see as much money going into the Iowa caucuses, but it's still more than 2008 where it was very competitive. But what a number of experts have also said is that the advertising activity is just happening a lot sooner. You know, you've got Republicans who are jockeying to get onto the debate stage, so they're trying to raise their name recognition early on.
Breon Fonensteel at the Des Moines Register on the big bucks sloshing around the presidential primary campaigns. She's here in about 25 minutes. We're a step closer to a giant merger in the beer industry this morning. SABMiller has agreed on the terms of a sweetened takeover offer by Anheuser-Busch InBev. The proposal is now worth more than $104 billion. Here's this morning's Mike Gavin.
After weeks of back and forth, SABMiller's board has agreed to the proposals, which is a 50% premium to its share price on September 14th. The revised proposal is the fifth AB InBev has made for SABMiller in recent weeks. A marriage between the two beer companies, if successful, would bring household brands such as Budweiser, Corona, and Stella Artois, together with the likes of Grolsch and Peroni. It would also give the combined company a major presence in the U.S., China, Europe, Africa, and Latin America. Together, AB InBev and SABMiller sell over 30% of the world's beer. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. 8 minutes after the hour. Well, the first Democratic presidential debate takes place tonight in Las Vegas. All five candidates will be on stage, including former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, former Senator Jim Webb of Virginia, and former Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee. How can each best communicate a message? Here's public speaking expert TJ Walker, president of Media Training Worldwide. He joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. TJ, how's this debate different from the GOP ones?
It's the difference between talking at a small, intimate dinner party versus trying to yell above the crowd at a football game. It's going to be much easier for each Democrat to say something and be heard. They're not going to have to fight and claw for a couple of seconds of airtime.
How hard will the men on stage be on the front runner Hillary Clinton?
Well, they can try to go hard. The problem is that Bernie Sanders is already on record as saying he wants to run on his ideas, and he hates this whole media game that says the only way he can get attention is attacking Hillary or slipping on a banana peel. So he is his own man and likes to play by his own rules and has shown no inclination in just attacking her to get cheap headlines. Will he change that tactic? We'll see. I doubt it. The problem with the other Democratic candidates is, ideologically, there isn't much difference between them and Hillary Clinton. In the case of someone like a former Senator Webb, he's actually more conservative on a lot of issues. So it's hard to see how that really gains him much traction in a Democratic primary.
Mrs. Clinton is running number one in most polls, Sanders number two. So what's at stake for O'Malley, Chafee, and Webb in terms of survival in this race?
Well, you can survive a long time if you don't mind raising no money and going nowhere in the polls. So they don't really have to do anything to stay in there. Now, if they're serious about being viable, they do have to look intelligent, say something interesting, and hope that Hillary stumbles or something else bad happens to her. Right now, Hillary has a stronger lock on the Democratic Party than any candidate who isn't an incumbent president has had in 50 years. So it's going to be extraordinarily difficult for them to make much headway. The other big problem for these candidates is that none of them is really well-known, liked, or respected by the Democratic Party establishment. Lincoln Chafee was a Republican most of his whole political career. His father was a Republican. Bernie Sanders has been a socialistic independent. There really isn't any precedent for anyone winning a party nomination and never having really played a role in that party before. And that's the real problem these other candidates face.
We're speaking with T.J. Walker, public speaking expert, president of Media Training Worldwide. What does Bernie Sanders have to do, not only going against Hillary Clinton, but also to legitimize himself to a nationwide audience?
I think Bernie Sanders thinks he's already legitimate. He feels that his more socialistic view of things is the right course for the country. He feels the time is right. He feels that millions of Americans are fed up with big corporations, big banks getting anything and everything they want. And he's right. There are millions of people who believe that and who believe that Hillary Clinton is essentially too conservative and too beholden to large banks and financial interests. The problem for Bernie Sanders is that just isn't a majority of the Democratic Party. So I think he's going to continue to run on the core issues he's talked about for the last 40 years. No one, even his worst enemy, thinks that Bernie Sanders is a stick-the-finger-in-the-wind politician who will say anything to get elected.
So if you were holding a seminar, say, with Hillary Clinton in one room and Bernie Sanders in the other, what would you tell each they had to do in this first debate?
Hillary Clinton has to play to her strengths. She knows substance. She knows policy. She's unflappable. She isn't going to get bothered. And she knows how to take a punch. She has to just keep on doing that. She needs some kind of short 30-second or less, not defense of the email and Benghazi situations, but an attack, a harsh attack on partisans and the media. When it comes to Bernie Sanders, I would say if you want attention, you're going to have to paint a stronger contrast between you and Hillary Clinton. You're going to have to say very forcefully where you are different. If you think she is sucking up to big banks and no different from a Republican, you've got to spell that out.
It's TJ. TJ Walker from Media Training Worldwide. 9 o'clock Eastern on CNN tonight. It's the first of six debates for the Democrats. 14 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Coming up next, by the way, how long Donald Trump thinks you'll watch tonight's debate.
You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Tuesday. Don't expect to be on the edge of your seat during tonight's Democratic presidential debate. That's the prediction from Republican candidate Donald Trump, who says if he's not in it, well, the exchanges just won't be as interesting. He doubts his Democratic counterparts have enough charisma
to muster up serious interest.
Well, I think it's not going to be very well rated because Trump isn't in the debate. I'm only kidding. I think it's not going to be highly rated. I think it's going to be, you're going to watch it for 10 or 15 minutes. People are going to get bored and turn it off.
There you go. Mr. Trump's candidacy, by the way, turned the first two Republican debates into must-see television for many Americans. The first GOP debate, hosted by Fox News in Cleveland in early August, drew 24 million viewers. According to data from Nielsen Media Research, it was the highest-rated non-sports cable broadcast in TV history. The second GOP debate, hosted by CNN in California last month, drew 23 million. Tonight's debate airs at 9 o'clock Eastern on CNN. That, by the way, will be competing for viewers with the baseball playoffs. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. Looking to maximize your shaving experience? Try Harry's to get the best bang for your buck. Say goodbye to money down the drain. Do you get sticker shock when you see the price of razors at the drugstore? Start getting value for your razors. Harry's cuts out the middleman costs because it owns the factory that makes the blades. Harry's takes care of your shave, so you're prepared to take on the other challenges in life. For listeners to our show, Harry's is giving $5 off your first purchase of a starter set with the coupon code DEAL. By using code DEAL at checkout, you can get Harry's starter set for just $10. That's a month's worth of shaving. It comes with a stylish handle, three of Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades, and shaving cream, all shipped right to your door for free. So say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or those cheap disposables, and say hello to Harry's, high-quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to harrys.com and enter code DEAL at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. That's a month's worth of shaving for just $10 by using the code DEAL at checkout. That's harrys.com, code DEAL. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshinka is here with more of America's First News.
Court in Iran's parliament today approved its nuclear deal with world powers, paving the way for the historic agreement curbing Tehran's atomic program to take effect and for the eventual lifting of sanctions. The vote came after fierce debate among lawmakers over the terms of the accord, which was struck on July 14th, but has faced a rough ride from hardliners in Tehran and in the U.S. Congress. The Dutch Safety Board is to publish a final report on why Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 broke up over Ukraine last year, killing all 298 on board. Preliminary findings say it was hit by high-energy objects from outside the aircraft, fueling speculation that a surface-to-air missile was responsible. The West and Ukraine say Russian-backed rebels brought down the plane. Russia blames Ukraine. Republican presidential candidate Jeb Bush is proposing to repeal and replace President Obama's health care law with one that would create tax credits for individuals, allowing them to buy coverage protection against high-cost medical events. But the two-page proposal, which would give more power to states to regulate health insurance, contains no specific details on how many people could be left without coverage. Bush is expected to release more details today during a three-day swing through New Hampshire. Two Kansas City firefighters were killed and two were injured when a burning building collapsed last night. Paul Berardi is the city's fire chief.
It's a tragedy. It's a tragic situation here. And I know Kansas City and I know Kansas Citians. Kansas Citians' hearts go out to the fire department at this time.
Berardi says the firefighters who died saved two civilians, carrying them out of the second floor on ladders before a wall collapsed. Volkswagen emissions scandal, the movie? Apparently, it's never too early. Paramount Pictures has already optioned the movie rights to a book about the controversy enveloping the German automaker. The movie has enlisted one of Hollywood's most high-profile environmentalists as a producer. Leonardo DiCaprio's production company has also come on board.
Seriously. Like the blood is still dripping.
I know. It hasn't even been determined what happened yet, but we're going to have a movie.
Oh, man. 22 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Coming up next, what you won't see in the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog. Thanks for spending time with us. If you're among the best customers of Neiman Marcus, you probably have received the retailer's annual Christmas book, which contains some of the most unusual gift ideas. But what's just as interesting is the over-the-top fantasy gifts that do not make it into the calendar or catalog, rather, each year. More on them from Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner. Suzanne, how about this year's list?
These are over-the-top gifts that usually are, you know, very, very expensive and things that you would never think of buying for yourself, like a custom-built submarine or a suit of armor. And, you know, I started looking into how they sort of pull this together. And they get, you know, hundreds of proposals every year. And some of the proposals are just completely off the wall. So they got one year they were, somebody suggested that they sell his and her caskets. Another year, somebody wrote to them saying, you know, I make custom-built guillotines. Wouldn't that be a nice Christmas gift?
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
Of course, Neiman Marcus said, no, thank you.
Right. Jeez. All right. But, well, what caught my attention initially was the custom submarine. Did that actually appear in a catalog, or did that get cut as
that
a proposal?
That actually appeared in a catalog. It was priced at $20 million. Nobody actually bought it, so go figure, right? But the woman who handles these gifts was telling me, you know, that appeared in the 2000 catalog. And in 2001, after the September 11th terrorist attack, she got a call from a sergeant with a New York City counterterrorism task force saying, we need to track down the submarine in case somebody actually bought it. We don't want a rogue submarine in private hands. And she had to reassure him that, no, nobody actually bought the
wow.
sub.
Wow. How about that? Is that right? We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner. She's got to look at the gifts that did not make it into the Neiman Marcus annual holiday catalog. So what goes into the selection? Is there some sort of criteria Neiman Marcus uses to, you know, put in this kind of this fantasy list of gifts?
Well, their criteria, they want it to be exclusive, so something you can't just go out and purchase anywhere else. They want it to be sort of very high quality, and that doesn't just mean expensive. They had proposals for gold-plated hand weights, and they say, well, really, you know, what makes that any better than hand weights you could buy at your local store for $10, right?
So what's some of the more bizarre stuff maybe that Neiman Marcus put in the catalog that they thought would never sell but actually did sell?
And there has to be some whimsy about it. They did like a custom-built hen house with, you know, like a chandelier and a whole like luxurious hen house. You know, there has to be something that makes you want to smile and laugh a little bit.
Now, you mentioned the his and her caskets before. That did not make it in. Was that something that was actually debated, or did somebody see that and just say, no, that's not going in?
No, they debated that. They in fact, they had the company who proposed it sort of draw up sort of a mock design of what these would look like, and they had pretty much ruled it out, but as sort of a joke, they slipped it into the list of proposals that the CEO had to review, and the CEO at the time said he remembered seeing that proposal, and he sort of started laughing and thought, this is not really an appropriate Christmas gift.
Thanks, Suzanne. It's Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner. By the way, if you miss a day, don't forget you can hear podcasts of the program on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. Also on apps like TuneIn, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and iTunes. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Are you predictable? When was the last time you surprised someone with something totally unexpected? At ProFlowers, we think predictability is boring. So we're making it easy for you to be unpredictable by offering our best-selling 100 blooms for just $19.99. Plus, we're giving away a free glass vase with every order. But hurry, because this incredible deal ends this Friday. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the blue radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5151. That's ProFlowers.com, secret code 5151.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Tuesday, October 13. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. First of six Democratic presidential primary debates tonight. Two Kansas City firefighters die battling a blaze last evening. A giant beer industry merger appears on. The U.S. drops 50 tons of small arms to help Syrian rebels battling ISIS terrorists. No charges for that Minnesota dentist who killed Cecil the Lion in Zimbabwe. Mets and Cubs, one win away from advancing in the National League Division Series. And the best quotes from resigning South Carolina football coach Steve Spurrier. Those quotes in about 20 minutes. How big has political ad spending been so far during this presidential primary season? More than 35,000 commercials, accounting for more than $20 million, have aired or been purchased to air on just Iowa TV stations. through next February 2nd, the day after the caucuses. That doesn't even count all the ads Iowans will see on cable stations or satellite networks. And as February draws closer, things will only intensify. Here's Breon Fonensteel at the Des Moines Register. Breon, what have you found?
Sure. Well, what we're finding is that campaigns are already booking up airtime for December and January, and then the week ahead of the February caucuses. So right now, and these are just a handful of campaigns that have already started booking, the main TV station here in the Des Moines area, viewers are going to see an average of 62 political ads every single day. And so that's only going to go up once the rest of these candidates get into the race.
In your article, you said so far only three candidates in the field of 20 Democrats and Republicans have been buying?
That's right. We've seen a lot of super PAC advertising and a handful of candidates, but really it's been just a small number of people so far. We've seen Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, Hillary Clinton, and then super PACs for Bobby Jindal and Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, Martin O'Malley, all of those guys kind of starting to get into it just a little bit.
What happens with the other candidates? Could there come a time when there will be no more room for their ads?
That's a really good question. The FCC regulates ad time, and so there's a rule that requires TV stations to make reasonable access for candidates who want to spend money and to get on the airwaves. So any candidate that wants to, the TV station is going to have to find some way to get them on there, and that may mean bumping off your local advertisers. It may mean squeezing out some ad buys that other candidates have made already to make some room for them, but they're not going to get the prime time. They're not going to get all of the advertising they want. So, I mean, feasibly, you could see wall-to-wall political advertising come caucus time.
We're speaking with Breon Fonensteel at the Des Moines Register. When you look at what's happening this year so far, how different is it than the previous two presidential political cycles?
It's definitely more spending. 2012, it wasn't quite as competitive, so you didn't see as much money going into the Iowa caucuses, but it's still more than 2008 where it was very competitive. But what a number of experts have also said is that the advertising activity is just happening a lot sooner. You know, you've got Republicans who are jockeying to get onto the debate stage, so they're trying to raise their name recognition early on, things like that. And just the sheer number of candidates contributes to how much money is going into this race. So in those ways, it's different.
Can you give some insight here into what the super PACs have done so far?
Absolutely. So right now, Jeb Bush's Right to Rise super PAC has purchased more than 4,500 total TV ads, and he spent more than $4.5 million on those. Other major spenders are Bobby Jindal, who has purchased more than 3,000 ads for almost $3 million. Marco Rubio is coming in third, and then you've got Rick Perry, who's no longer in the race, but before he dropped out, his super PAC had spent almost $600,000 on ads, seeing a lot of super PAC activity.
You spoke to one Democratic strategist in the Iowa area, and his advice was get on the air sooner rather than later. How come?
Sure. Well, once you get up to caucus time, when you've got 62 ads airing every day, it's going to be harder for politicians to stand out to get their message across. You know, not only are the airwaves going to be flooded, but you're going to have voters who are ready to tune it out. You know, they're not going to want to sit and listen to another politician during, you know, their Wheel of Fortune. So for candidates who want to stand out early, airing who can afford it, airing time early is probably a good idea.
How much of an impact, by the way, do these television ads really have?
You know, that's up for debate because as some people have pointed out, a lot of the candidates who are doing really well right now, Donald Trump, Carly Fiorina, Ben Carson, they haven't done a whole lot of advertising, you know, and so there's a question about, well, you know, Bobby Jindal is spending $3 million, but he's still at the bottom of the poll. But I think most strategists will tell you that come caucus time, you have to be on TV. Even if you risk alienating voters, tuning some people out, it's a great way to reach across the state and get a broad section of people, and hopefully you can tap into those undecided voters.
Thanks, Breon. Breon Fonensteel at the Des Moines Register. 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, the first thing most people do not think of doing if they're driving drunk. Thanks for being with us. Good Tuesday morning. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you know, we talk a lot about social media and technology in this space and how it helps us communicate. One thing we tend to forget, though, is that it can also help police find us when we do something bad. Enter 23-year-old Whitney Beal of Lakeland, Florida, who has gained some notoriety for driving drunk this past weekend and for broadcasting the escapade live on the live streaming app Periscope. Police say Beal was using the app while driving Saturday night, saying several times in the broadcast that she was drunk and apparently looking for some gas.
This is horrible. I don't even know where the next
Concerned viewers understandably called 911 and others pleaded with her to pull over. Thankfully, she didn't hurt herself or anyone else before the cops tracked her down, pulled her over, and arrested her. Beal was charged with driving under the influence and was later released on bail. Lakeland Police spokesman Gary Gross told local TV that in 30 years of law enforcement, he's never seen anything like this before.
Think there's any evidence?
I know.
Of what happened?
I know. That's not only did it help them track her down, but now there's all the evidence they need to. I mean, and here's the amazing part. I can't believe she could actually drive a car. She sounded as drunk as anybody I've ever heard my entire life.
How drunk do you have to be to not be aware?
Right.
I guess most people don't care or don't know when they're drunk, get behind the wheel, but to put this together like a live broadcast of it.
But she did somehow imagine, you know, I can't even imagine trying to pop up the Periscope app right now on my phone and I'm stone cold sober.
Oh, that's a great point.
Doing that when she's drunk and doing it like in selfie style, you know, with one arm out and the other arm on the wheel. And that showed an amazing amount of coordination for someone who's obviously had a lot to drink that night.
So lucky she's alive and lucky she didn't kill somebody else.
Yes.
You know, even as this appears to be somewhat of a lighthearted story for the stupidity of it all. Wow.
Yeah. And in another dumb criminal being caught using technology story, Gordon, the Baltimore Sun reports that a man who robbed a convenience store in Maryland was looking for a ride, so he did what people do when they need transportation in 2015 at 2:30 in the morning. He hired an Uber driver. After receiving a 911 call, cops showed up with a canine unit and apprehended 23-year-old Deshaun Cochran just 30 minutes later, after he had gotten into his shared ride. They later released the driver and another passenger from the vehicle who were there but were not involved with the crime. While hiring an Uber driver is not the smartest and most discreet way to make your getaway with bags of cash, he did, however, reportedly demonstrate excellent discretion in selecting an Uber, choosing a high-end silver Lexus as his getaway ride.
I see. So, like, how does that work? Like, you've robbed the convenience store.
Yeah.
You're standing there with, I don't know if you have a bag of cash or just fistfuls of cash.
Cash with a big dollar sign on the outside. Yeah. That's the way I picture it anyway.
A giant bag, right?
Right, sure.
And then do you just stand on the corner and wait for your Uber driver? Because you can't be running through backyards while the Uber driver's trying to find you.
Yeah, you had to be on the highway probably somewhere, right? Yeah. On the highway or on a main road so the Uber driver can find you. So, and by the way, the common thread between these two stories, they're both 23 years old.
Mm.
So there was something in the water in 1992, apparently.
Right. Wonder what else was in the water or mixed in a glass at 2:30 a.m. for this to go down, perhaps? Thank you, Mike. It's 13 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing. It's 8 minutes now before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Kashenka is back with more of America's First News.
Court in Belgium, Brazilian firm AB InBev today announced an agreement in principle with SAB Miller to take over the brewer for $106 billion to create the world's biggest beer company. The brewer Budweiser and Stella Artois says it had increased its offer again for the world's second largest brewer and that both boards reached agreement in principle on the key terms. The next big challenge is to secure regulatory approval for the deal, which is expected to face antitrust scrutiny around the world and could take as long as a year to close. Shooting and stabbing attacks in Jerusalem and northern Israel, including on a bus, have left many Israelis injured. 18 people were wounded, 6 seriously, when attackers opened fire and stabbed passengers on a bus in Jerusalem. Several attackers and at least 17 Palestinians have been killed in the recent upsurge of violence. A new controversy has emerged surrounding the House Benghazi Committee, the panel set up to investigate the terror attacks in Libya that killed 4 Americans. Committee investigator Bradley Podlyska Florida says he was fired because he refused to focus solely on former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and her emails. Democrats say Podlyska's claims square with their view that the committee's chief goal is to destroy the likely Democratic nominee for president. Despite all the recent controversy, the two main fantasy sports websites appear to have had their biggest weekend ever. An employee of DraftKings admitted to accidentally pre-releasing NFL data and then winning $350,000 on rival site FanDuel, but that didn't stop a record number of users from participating in fantasy sports competitions on those sites this weekend. California lawmakers have taken the first step toward accomplishing something Major League Baseball could never do, stop players from stuffing those big wads of chewing tobacco into their mouths during games. Governor Jerry Brown has signed a bill banning the use of smokeless tobacco in all California ballparks. And perhaps thinking and slouching do go together. Teachers often remind kids to sit up straight, but a new study suggests that slouching may be an appropriate posture when activities require mental effort. Students were more focused on math problems when they weren't worried about their posture. Your face says you're not believing.
I mean, come on. This, like, when you need thinking help, you sit up, you take a deep breath to kind of, you know, clear your head and then re-look at that problem.
They're saying if you're worried about sitting up and you're thinking about that, that you're not concentrating on what you're doing.
All right. Oh, they must. They're the researchers. They must be right. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Coming up next, the best Steve Spurrier quotes. Legendary college football coach Steve Spurrier has announced his resignation at South Carolina. Spurrier, who's 70, leaves Columbia with a 2-4 record this season and unlikely to finish with a winning record. By the way, Spurrier was famous for his quotes on coaching so long. He said, people ask, why are you still coaching? He said, I forgot to get fired, and I'm not going to cheat. In taking a jab at Georgia, he says, I sort of always liked playing them that second game because you could always count on them having two or three key players suspended. In taking a jab at Tennessee, he said, on Tennessee missing out on the Sugar Bowl during his Florida years, you can't spell citrus without UT. And then at Auburn, when a fire at the campus library destroyed 20 books, he said, quote, the real tragedy was that 15 had not been colored yet. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.